This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. It is not intended to cause or induce breach of an existing agency agreement.
The goal of this podcast since day one is to provide the best information on the Vancouver real estate market at no cost to you, the listeners. To that end, we'd like to thank the following sponsors.
This podcast is sponsored by Marcon, a local family-owned and managed real estate development and construction company that's been around for nearly four decades. Marcon is not only committed to high-quality construction, but it also is making a positive impact in the communities in which it builds, all across the Lower Mainland.
We want to highlight two incredible Marcon projects. Elmwood, a 38-story tower located at Burquitlam's most important intersection, Como Lake Avenue and Clark Road. This landmark tower will feature 335 condominiums, over 37,000 square feet of office and retail space, and almost 20,000 square feet of amenity space. Elmwood has been incredibly popular with 80% sold currently, but they still have a great selection of junior one-bedroom all the way to three-bedroom homes remaining. Check out marcon.ca/elmwood for more.
And Matt, we are also excited about Soane House, Marcon's newest community in West Coquitlam. With 165 homes ranging from junior one beds to three beds, Soane House offers the perfect West Coast aesthetic with a more nuanced Nordic-inspired design. Register today at marcon.ca/soanehouse. That's S-O-E-N-H-A-U-S. Or you can learn more at marcon.ca or follow them at Instagram at Marcon Homes.
Marcon, building for life.
Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver Real Estate Podcast.
And welcome back to Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Scalina.
And I'm your host, Matt Scalina.
And Matt, today we've got a phenomenal episode. We have Brian Yu. He's the chief economist at Central One Credit Union.
That's right, Brian Yu. This is a great conversation about Vancouver real estate, but also about the BC economy more generally,
yeah,
which is Brian's bread and butter.
Right.
I mean, this is what this guy, he lives and breathes. So it's great to have Brian on the show. And this is our first time having Brian Yu on the show. We have had his predecessor on the show, Helmut Pasternak,
yes,
before, who is the chief economist who retired, in late 2020, I believe.
Right.
We actually, interestingly enough, he was one of the last guests before the shutdown.
Yeah.
And what sticks out to me is
how lightly we were taking
how
COVID.
all three of us probably took
as
COVID.
As we sat around, essentially I shaking like hands,
I mean,
speaking a foot apart.
And myself might have shared a glass of water.
They were different days. They were
different days.
Times.
It was like the first week of March where, and I specifically remember, I don't know who it was made the comment, hey, we've been through H1N1 before. Like,
right.
We got COVID's, yeah, number. And 3 days later, the NHL was, yeah, no longer, the season was canceled.
Yeah. We all became blood brothers and then parted ways. It was a different time in the world. But it was fantastic having Helmut on the show. And one thing I'll say about Helmut is if you go back and listen to that interview, I felt bad because nobody, it was interesting. Like, literally, we had the conversation. The whole world changed almost once we put it out.
You know what? It was one of those things I remember because we had him on, say, on, like, this is how it played out. Because I remember my family was going on vacation without,
right,
me, and I had all these plans to go to Canucks games and everything,
yeah,
else.
Yeah.
And on the Monday, I was like, super excited. Okay, these guys are taking off on Thursday, but like, you know, Canucks on Saturday, yeah, night. It's going to, yeah, be great. And he was on Monday. And by Wednesday, I was very nervous that our plans were changing. And Thursday is when I said, hey, you guys got to cancel your flights. Like, that's how quickly.
Yeah.
Monday was like, this is going to be a fantastic.
You know what's a funny thing to think about there? Just, and not, no offense to your family. You've got a great family, but you went from thinking you were going to have a week off, like in front of the TV with hockey and like sweatsuits, to like a year on. A year on. From a week off to a year on in like a heartbeat.
Yeah.
You known? Anyways, it was a great, great conversation with Helmut. And we've got a great conversation with Brian Yu today. The world's completely changed.
The world's completely changed.
Central One Credit Union was on the program, but it's an interesting episode for sure.
And Brian has a different take on kind of the way the rest of this year plays out. So
right.
Stay tuned for that. It's a phenomenal conversation. In terms of market activity, Adam, let's just touch on. So it feels like one of the things we should say is, you know, Brian's just another layer of experts commenting on the market on this show, and we've had a ton of them on since the start of this year because we're trying to make sense of
what is a very
complicated moment in
one
the Vancouver
of the
real
most
estate
complicated
market.
But engaging moments, I think. I can't think of a time that was more fascinating than right now because we've got so many things to monitor right
so
now.
So many
right?
things to
the
monitor.
Interest rate has gone up.
And quite dramatically and quite quickly, right?
Yep.
I mean, that's one thing. I feel like there's policy change talk is in the air, and this seems to be
at the federal level
for sure. You know, when the CBC starts poking around and other media outlets.
Every morning now, there's almost an article about potential policy changes.
Look at New Zealand and everything else. I mean,
right.
it seems like it's in the air. I can't imagine that probably doesn't end with some sort of shift in policy, although maybe not.
The other thing is,
with the larger economy, of course, real estate's a huge driver, so we'll see. But then listings. Like, we're in a weird moment where we're in early March, right? Or mid-March, I should say, when the market usually starts taking off. But we're almost in a moment where it feels like there's fatigue starting to set in among buyers when listings are actually coming on now.
It's still red hot out there. There's still multiple offers. I'm in three multiple offers this afternoon.
Both of us are basically writing offers in situations that are very, very challenging to be successful.
Yeah, a lot of really busy markets. The valley is on fire still. Real estate market is really, really busy, but it does seem like we're starting to get some inventory now, or at least the hope inventory is increasing slightly. A lot of stuff on the way. If you think about what could drive inventory, one is the vaccine, right? There's still a lot of people out there that don't want to list because they don't want a flood of people through their homes.
Right.
Right. So it would be interesting to watch what happens once people start getting vaccinated and will their comfort level with listing increase? The second thing is that, you know, empty homes tax and BC spec tax, when you look at this, these taxes, the implication of these taxes, we're now in month three of 2021. If you have a vacant property and you were kind of toying with the idea of selling, you better move quick.
Right.
Or there's a real strong possibility that you're going to be subject to one of these taxes, right, in the city of Vancouver or even in the province.
That's right. And last, a lot of people that we're talking to, you know, with our listing incentive, which we'll get to, but with our listing incentive, we're talking to a lot of people and past clients where when people start hearing about these crazy prices, like it's like shaking the bush, right? Or shaking the tree.
Yeah.
And people start thinking maybe this is a great time to list. And it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to make the case that it's not a pretty good time to list your property
if you're
thinking of selling, right?
Yeah.
You know, sub-market specific, of course, but that I think – people are now well aware that the inventory's down. It's a great time to be selling a property.
For sure.
And that undoubtedly will lead to more inventory.
I am fascinated with buyer fatigue. It's so weird how collectively the market sometimes takes a sigh of frustration.
And sometimes it leads to like a couple – it's like a week – and
yeah.
sometimes it's longer.
It's
very hard to. And sometimes it's like, is this just my buyers? Is this everybody's buyers?
Well, it's hard to operate sometimes because you're operating in your own business. So if your own business is really busy, you assume everybody's busy. And if your business is slow for a moment,
or even
you feel like
down,
the market,
like, what's happening?
So you're kind of constantly, and that's why it's so great to have people on the program who are kind of taking a bird's eye view because we're very much on the ground. And it's hard to sometimes see the forest for the trees, right? But this is the thing too, is just to kind of back up to talk about fatigue in the market. We're talking to so many agents on a day-to-day basis. And now more than ever, I'm hearing a lot of people saying, man, I feel like buyer fatigue is starting to creep into this market. A lot of people are saying, wait a second, I've lost out on, you know, three or four offers. Maybe it's not meant to be right now.
Right. Right. And
something to monitor.
It is because I feel like I was thinking about that yesterday you know, I wrote two offers and got creamed on both of them. So maybe it's not. So maybe the fatigue was overstated. But yeah. We'll see.
Something to continue monitoring.
It feels like we're talking about it. It feels like other people are talking about it. So it's worth thinking about. But what else do we have before we cut to our talk with Brian? You, Adam. One, we are sponsored this week by Oakland Realty. This is our brokerage, best brokerage in town with a great culture, great resources. If you are a new agent, an aspiring agent, somebody who's just looking to make a change, been in the real estate game for a long time, you'll want to sit down with Michael, Morgan, and the gang. The way to do this, and this is with a huge incentive, head over to oakwin.com/join, type in VRP2020. That's oakwin.com/join, type in VRP2020 for the huge incentive. But as we often say, the real incentive is joining a fantastic brokerage.
Yes, absolutely, Matt. And definitely do that, the spring incentive. Speaking of spring incentives, We've also got the listing incentive. Really excited to be offering this. We've had a lot of VREP listeners and part of our community take advantage of this incentive.
That's right. We've had some happy VREP listeners.
Exactly. And if you are thinking about listing your property, definitely get in touch. If you want to work with the Scalina brothers and get top dollar for your property, we do have an incentive for you. We also have an incentive for listeners that want to introduce us to somebody in their network, whether it's family or friends, that you think we'd be a good fit for. Happy to help on the buy side or the list side, but there will be an incentive for you for making an introduction. So we really appreciate that. And Matt, last but not least, we do have the sold plan.
That's right. So if you're potentially thinking of listing a property, but you're not quite there yet, the first step, this is always the smartest first step, is to get in touch and get a copy of our sold plan.
Yeah, the sold plan, start on launch date and work your way backwards. It's a plan. It's basically an action plan where it's a step-by-step resource to get your home ready for market. And these are tried, tested, and true resources. These are amazing. We've been using them for years for our own listings. This is how you get top dollar and get your property ready for market. You can just send us an email, info@vancouverrealestatepodcast.com. Put the sold plan into the subject line, or else you can just respond on the live wire. Assuming you're on the live wire. If you're not on the live wire, what are you doing?
VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
For sure. And without further ado, Matt, let's cut to our conversation. Today's a fantastic episode. Brian Yu, Chief Economist, Central One Credit Union.
Enjoy.
Okay, so we're here with Brian Yu, Chief Economist from Central One Credit Union. How you doing, Brian?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much for taking the time. And we were saying before we hit record here, congratulations on, I believe it's the new role as Chief Economist over at Central One.
Thank you.
Yeah, and Brian, can we start? Like, we've been monitoring Central One Credit Union reports and following your work for years, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners have been as well. But can you start by maybe telling our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. I am Chief Economist Central One Credit Union. I've been here for a decade. I was actually at the BC Real Estate Association helping to start that up prior to Central One and CMHC before then. About me, I'm actually from the Prairies, from Winnipeg. So that's where I was kind of born and raised before I came out here for schooling. And I've been here and in Calgary for a couple of years since then. With a couple of kids in tow right now, living in Vancouver.
Right, and I remember we had a guest who went on and on about how their life improved when they logged off of Twitter and Facebook, so I'm no longer following you as closely on Twitter, but I know you did move, you downsized, I believe, with kids, is that correct?
Yeah, it was a interesting move at the time, I think I was pre-pandemic. So clearly it was the quality of life type of a choice, getting closer to the office, getting, just being, I think, in Vancouver and some of the amenities that we were in Burnaby. So again, very centralized area as well. But I think just the commute time on a daily basis was something we wanted to change a bit. But I think pandemic, after the pandemic, things have definitely shifted. So some of those benefits aren't quite there. But again, I think living in Vancouver is pretty fantastic just in general.
Right on. Well, maybe we'll start with kind of a broad, open-ended question. Brian, how's the BC economy doing?
you know, it's obviously we were pretty hard hit by the pandemic. The front end, we're seeing a lot of industries that continue to struggle, especially those in tourism, hospitality, and that's par for the course given the fact that the skies are essentially closed for the time being. But at the same time, we've also seen some improvements or recoveries in certain areas. Commodities seem to have done well. Those sectors which could be remote workers who have a lot more ability to work remotely, like technology as well as professional services, seem to rebound quite quickly. So we're just off of where we were pre-pandemic in terms of employment. We're down about 1.5%, which is a lot better than what we're seeing in other provinces at the current time. So it's not great by any means. We're still quite a ways to go to get back to normal, but, you know, it could be a lot worse.
Right. And just thinking about, you know, comparing BC to other provinces, can you talk a little bit about why BC seems to be performing better? And also, is it a surprise?
Yeah, so we definitely have a little more of a hit in terms of certain sectors like the, you know, like I said, the hospitality sector is given our reliance on tourism to an extent. But we also did see in other provinces where, like Ontario, for example, they were hit from early on from supply issues in terms of vehicle manufacturing. We didn't have the big drop off in oil prices affecting us as much like Alberta did. And of course, in terms of overall restrictions for the COVID-19 pandemic, right now, at least, we're not quite as restricted as other provinces like Ontario or Quebec, where they have effective lockdowns in some cases and curfews. And again, certain retail segments are still closed. You know, our case counts are a little rising right now by the looks of some of the trends. But overall, I think that from the following that sort of that deeper initial closures and restrictions, BC really hasn't restricted quite as much. And I do think that we can kind of thank the fact that in our metro areas, and we have a pretty decent weather here, so people are able to go out and they're not quite cooped up as much as maybe in other markets where it's colder and you have a much bigger second wave.
Right, right. It was in March 2020 when we had the former chief economist from Central One Credit Union, Helmut Pastrick, on the program. And obviously, that was an interesting time to be talking about anything because we were on the verge of COVID. And I think all of us kind of underestimated.
It was like a week before it became very clear.
Yeah.
Or even days before. It was almost amazing that we looking at that conversation and then, you know,
we
3 days
it.
Later, the NHL shut down.
Yeah, exactly. And the one thing about that conversation, though, that in hindsight now, we all underestimated the extent of the pandemic, but Helmut actually was still very certain about the, I guess, the resiliency of the Vancouver real estate market. Can we maybe talk a little bit about the housing market in BC in general? Have you been surprised at the real estate market over the past year?
Yeah, I think when we're looking back to where we were in March, the deep losses in employment that we had seen triggered from the pandemic through the following months. There was a general consensus that the overall market probably would pull back just because of confidence, the inability to sell necessarily. But I think that once that we kind of moved through that period, you know, the fact that the mortgage rates fell as much as they did over the course of the year really provide that massive uplift. And again, more than I think a lot of economists had anticipated at the time. So clearly, I think that, you know, I think most of us had underestimated just that strength of underlying demand that people wanting to get into home ownership and taking advantage of those low rates would have on the market demand.
You know, it, one thing that struck me is we've had people from CMHC on, and it sounds like, Brian, you were at the CMHC, sounds like at least probably 15 years ago or over 10 for sure. The CMHC's forecasts have been kind of something we've talked about a bit on the program because they've been, you know, noticeably off where the market's going. What are your thoughts as a former CMHC staffer, I guess, in terms of where that forecast has went wrong? And I'm thinking about that, you know, by this point, you know, when they came out with their forecast earlier last year, I don't have to remind you, but by this point, I think we were going to be in a really a declining market, very low activity.
So I think, you know, I definitely don't want to talk too much about how CMHC come to their forecast. They have a lot of economists on staff that are looking at the markets. And it's been many, almost more than a decade since I've actually worked there. But typically, you know, it's likely there's a lot of risk management aspect in that, in those forecasts as well, that looking at, if we were, again, looking at some of the models, looking at, you know, what does the normal impact of a severe recession and a big drop off, you know, in terms of overall employment have. Yeah, I think that there was some merit to us declined. I think we all kind of also thought that the forecast, the drops from CMHC were pretty substantial, like probably more than most forecasters were anticipating at that time. I think we were in the range of about 5% drop, I believe, if I go back to our own outlooks. But yeah, nothing up to that, to the extent that I think CMHC had called for the market at the time. But yeah, okay, forecasting is hard. It's not an exact science. But I do think that there was a little bit of overshoot in terms of that, and in fact, it went completely opposite direction.
Right. And maybe talking about forecasting a little bit, you've just recently released the BC Economic Briefing, Volume 27, Issue 7. Which one of the highlights is that the housing demand is expected to pull back a bit to more normal levels after the first quarter of 2021. Can we talk a little bit about that projection? And you know, it seems like the market's very, very active right now. How does Central One Credit Union see that shift taking place?
And as a secondary kind of question, can you talk a little bit about, Adam and I are both realtors, so we're kind of working on the ground here, but it was a busy end to the year, and then it's like 2021 is on steroids, right? Like right out of the gate, it has just popped off. So maybe talking about kind of your forecast out in 2021, but also the factors in why it's been such a busy start to the year.
Yeah, I do think that, you know, we are talking a little bit of gravity here when we're looking at the overall the sales flow even into early 2021. I think the numbers are showing us roughly about a 60% increase relative to a normal, let's say a normal year in terms of overall sales for January and December as well. So part of that is the fact that, you know, we are so well above our typical norms in a normal market that we would expect that trend at least to start to drop off. We all know that prices have risen substantially over the past year. Part of it, again, driven by the fact that low mortgage rates have helped buyers get into the market. They've been able to save more money during the pandemic because they're not spending it on travel or wherever. So some of those flows have come into the market as well. So when we look at prices as high as they are, and the buying power that mortgage rates provided, I think that we are heading into an affordability crunch if we're not there already. And, you know, that is going to make a couple of adjustments, I think, in the market. Number one, I do think that the condo market demand will rotate back to the condo market, especially as that pandemic continues to evolve and I think as vaccines get rolled out. But overall, I think there is that affordability aspect. Mortgage rates, I think, are, you know, relatively steady, but I do expect them to start to pick up as the year progresses. So a lot of those drivers there are going to, I think, go against the housing market, but still quite supportive. Adding to that, I think that as pandemic wanes and we see more options available for people, there's just less search time. People will go back to the office. People will be spending more time, you know, on vacation when that's available. So a number of these factors, I think, are going to just weigh on that demand side of the equation.
Yeah, that's interesting because it does feel like, you know, we've talked a lot on this show over the last couple of weeks, really. We started the show in 2016 when the market was, you know, prices were accelerating in single family, and then 2017 prices accelerated dramatically in condos. And then we saw kind of a minor downturn, but I think most were expecting kind of a more significant downturn. And now the sentiment out there feels like kind of like 2016. like there's a bullishness and an aggressiveness out in the market with buyers. But it sounds like, at least according to what you guys are seeing, the affordability, it's very, we're kind of on the edge here, and we're not going to see a runaway. There's no kind of evidence for a runaway year like 2016 or 2017.
Yeah, like 2016 had some pretty substantial single families were up about 30. We saw them shoot up quite a bit as well. Yeah, so I do think that we are, you know, if things were relatively unaffordable already, and then we're looking at a scenario where that price point will become an issue. You know, down payment, it becomes much harder to save for down payment unless you're getting intergenerational wealth flowing through, which we frankly just don't have very good data on how much monies or flows are possibly coming from older parents for millennials. So, you know, those are going to be a factor. I think that that's going to put a sort of a dampening in terms of that demand side. Prices at Garner are going to be quite supported. I think we have very little inventory in the market at the current time, and we would normally expect that with a hot market, we would see more homes coming on the market for sale. And it's possible that as the pandemic wanes and people are more comfortable, we'll see that. And that would also, again, help to put some pressure or at least cap some of the upward pressure on pricing. But at the moment, I think, as you guys mentioned, that the market is exceptionally hot. And it's again, I don't think it's kind of outside the realm of expectations, just how strong we are into the early phase of 2021, given that the pandemic is still, it's largely still ongoing.
Can we, Brian, talk a little bit about inventory? This seems to be a thing where, generally speaking, in most segments of the market right now, if you talk to people that are in the industry or home buyers, there's just a real lack of inventory, to the point that there seems to be a lot of home buyers just waiting on inventory, waiting on new listings on a week by week basis. What do you think's leading to the low inventory right now, and why? Like it seems like we've had the low inventory issue here in our market for quite some time.
Yeah, well, I think it's been a longer term issue. I think, as you just sort of noted, that active listings and new listings haven't been very high for quite a long period, and people do hold on to their homes. I think especially for single family homes, there isn't that many available, especially in terms of new pockets to build single family in areas like in the Vancouver core area or even surrounding. So I think that, you know, people are looking at that as a whole. It's also harder in a market like this that to actually move into to find a property. So it's sort of a vicious cycle on the inventory side, is that yes, you can list your home, and if you do plan to move, then the question is, where are you going to move to?
Right.
So I do think that the vicious cycle in terms of inventory is playing a part here. And the fact that single family is a relatively smaller and smaller part of the overall the pie for the housing market, you know, and that kind of leads us into, well, what can people buy? Where are people? Where can they find listings? It's largely on the pre-sale side potentially, or even on the apartment inventory side. But you know, broadly, these numbers are not very high, and we would expect that if this market continues to be as strong as it is, that there will be some increase as the pandemic wanes. And it's part of it is also that fear of health fears of having people into your home.
Right. Right. You know, and one thing, and again, it goes back to kind of that wind up for the last question I asked Brian, at least about, you know, that we did the podcast through 2016, 2017, and we've kind of continued on week by week through 2021. And one thing that we talked a lot about, I feel like in 2016 and 2017 was a real estate bubble, right? That was like, you know, every headline, everybody was talking about it. You know, there's Facebook groups and everything else. It does, and this might be because I'm off Twitter now, but it does feel like that's no longer really, you know, we're talking about a hot market, but it doesn't feel like the same narratives are out there, like we're hanging off a cliff type thing. Does Vancouver real estate make sense to you? Do you think the word bubble should be talked about still, or should be used? And what risks do you see kind of in the short to midterm here for the Vancouver real estate market?
Yeah, it is actually quite interesting because, we do look at back in 2016 and sort of the news flow was, in fact, all about bubbles and crashes, however you want to call it. you know, and I think that there was a narrative associated around that year as well. And when we look back in terms of the discussions around foreign buyers, you just see the foreign buyer taxes emerge around this period as well. So clearly, I think that, you know, there was this view that it was completely due to external forces. The current scenario, I think, you know, we haven't talked about bubbles. You know, a lot of it is from what I can see and what I hear in terms of the market from market players is that it's largely domestic demand. It's driven by those low interest rates. It's driven by the pandemic factors that people are looking for more green space. They're looking for, you know, the white picket fence, and they are heading, you know, to the more outlying suburbs, whether that's when they were in Vancouver, they're looking for homes in, you know, you go to Surrey, to North Vancouver, and even further abroad into the interior or island. So it's a very much a different type of an environment, I think, that in terms of the discussion that people are having of what was driving. And I think that's part of what's happening right now in terms of the overall sentiment. We should, of course, I think, be a little wary about that. And, you know, prices are prices at the end of the day. They're high. They've risen quite dramatically. You know, and if it's driven by, you know, for the various aspects of mortgage rates being low, inventory being low, and again, there's that. Also, I think some people are again rushing towards getting into the market because they're a little concerned that they won't be able to get in if they move any later. There is always going to be a little bit of a risk that we're going to have a selling down in these prices as we go forward. But as long as I think mortgage rates do remain quite low, which we are expecting, that there will be a lot of support for pricing. You know, and I think again that condo markets will start to be pretty, we'll start to rotate in terms of demand for condos as borders reopen, students come back as well.
Right, right. In thinking about the risks component of that question, is it interest rates in your opinion, or do you think that there's a potential that just with the momentum of the market that we might see some policy implemented, or is there anything that you think might come into play to help offset maybe the momentum in this market?
Well, I have been thinking more about, again, if we go back to previous cycles or high price cycles, is that typically they lead to some policy action. And, you know, I think that's a question that's going to be asked here. Is there room for policy to cool this market on the demand side? I think that long-term, my view is still that if you want to make an affordable market, a relatively affordable one, it's fundamentally a supply-side issue. And, you know, but that can take years by the time it actually unfolds in the actual market. So there might be, in fact, some more regulatory changes, whether I really don't know exactly what type of measures could be in play, but, you know, people have talked about higher down payments in the past or required down payments. The stress test is still in play. So it's interesting that there is still a stress test right now, but it hasn't held back the market too much. Right. And again, that could speak to where down payments are flowing from as well. So I do see that as a potential risk. I think it's also another one is that, again, looking at the pandemic economics of this is that, you know, as people move to the, you know, to the edges or the fringes of the urban areas, and we're seeing this across different markets across Canada and the suburbs, there's an expectation there that people will be able to work from home for the vast majority of their time or indefinitely at home permanently. So it's not, there is that risk that businesses or their employers will reverse their decisions or, you know, will be looking to bring people back into the offices because it's, you know, there is a lot of signs that productivity increased significantly at the front end of the pandemic, but you end up losing a lot of the potential for collaboration and creativity by having everybody remote. So some companies will likely want their employees back in the office on a near full-time basis or for much of a week. So that is something that's weighing that some of this demand that's created might roll back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. I feel like all the larger kind of macro stats, I guess, about productivity, and it seems like on the news, at least months ago, you'd hear, you know, CEOs come out and say, oh, how productive everyone is. Just in our business, like we talk to a lot of small business owners, and I feel like to a person, they're like, that's just not true. Like there's no way everybody's getting as much done at home. I don't know if that's indicative of anything or just the people we're talking to. But yeah, we've been back. The minute we could get back to our office, at least we've been coming in every day, that's for sure, out of the pajamas.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the case. I think at the front end of the pandemic, there was this almost collective view or collective effort that, you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic, or we're starting a pandemic, everybody's working together, and we're just trying to really push through this. But as that wanes and as it normalizes, there are some signs that it's not quite as rosy for the long term as maybe some individuals viewed it a few months ago or even 6 months ago.
So Brian, something that you said that was interesting is that you could see now with affordability in the detached market, and even I think to a large extent, the half duplex market and the townhouse market has really been on a significant run here for the past calendar year. In thinking about condos now, we saw a lot of downward pressure on condos, especially in the downtown area and surrounding areas as well, especially in one bedrooms or smaller spaces. Do you think we're going to see a resurgence in the condo market this year and specifically in condos downtown?
I would say that, you know, in terms of resurgence, how much, it's not clear, but I do think that there's a rebound in demand in these markets. You know, when we think about what's happened over the past year is that students have not been coming in as a result of remote learning in some cases. You're not getting the business travelers or those individuals or who are working out of Vancouver for, you know, short-term stays or even long-term stays. So, you know, the demand for investment units, the demand for those properties obviously declined during this period. But I think as the vaccine rolls out, I think the normal course of events would be that these types of, that this demand does rebound, recover substantially. The downtown core, again, we're looking at the downtown core type of building. That's a reflection of what's happening in downtown core business. You know, without people working there, it's become sort of a dead zone when office workers aren't there on a daily basis. And similarly, you see the impact on demand for housing in these markets as well. It's not a vibrant area that people move there for. But as things improve, as things normalize, I have a firm belief that downtown Vancouver will be a much stronger real estate market as we move forward. And part of that is also looking at which companies are still planning on moving in and still taking up a lot of space or new commercial space and office space downtown.
And we often, everyone talks about Amazon, right? But can you remind our listeners what other big players are coming to downtown Vancouver?
Yeah, that's a good one. I think when we're looking at the various buildings, I always forget exactly which ones are there because things have changed. But Amazon's obviously the big player that's taking up a lot of space. We've definitely seen some, you know, E&Y, for example. I think they're going to be taking up more space and a bunch of other technology companies. I don't know if Shopify is still going forward with their 1,000-person office that they had initially looked at creating. But for the most part, I think that this space will be leased. I think that most of these office workers will come back, and the office will probably look a little different than where it was. I don't think remote work is going away, but I do think most people will be expected to be in the office at least a few times a week.
Mm-hmm. You know, maybe thinking about that, just thinking about who's coming to downtown Vancouver is kind of a nice segue to kind of broad final question that we had here, Brian. What outlook, I guess first maybe, what's your take on the real estate market over the next year, but then 3 and 5 years, kind of long-term take on the real estate market here in Vancouver and I guess more broadly BC, and then maybe just a longer-term view on the BC economy?
Yeah, so I think that for the number of questions rolled into there.
That's the podcast right there.
so the economy, I think we have an outlook of about 4% growth for the next couple of years and more. Really just an ongoing recovery of the economy. The knowledge sector is looking to rebound or looking to grow. It'll take longer for service sector, tourism, accommodation, food services to rebound to pre-pandemic levels. I think that even with the vaccine, we still need skies to reopen. You still need people to be confident to go into restaurants and the like. So that will continue to be sort of a work in progress for the next year to 2 years. For the housing market, I think that given the strength that we're seeing even in early 2021, the weakness that we had during the pandemic, front end of the pandemic, we'll probably still see home sales being up around the 20% ranges here for Metro Vancouver, even with that slowing down, a normalization of the home sales as we go forward. And that pricing front, I think that we had somewhere around a 5 or 6% increase. I think that's going to be higher when we get through the year. I think, as you can see, the market has just the market strength, even the front end, has just been a lot stronger than we had expected. I think it would. It was. I expected it to be at least going down a little bit at this point, still above norms, but clearly that hasn't been the case so far. So a lot of that early strength should continue through the year, although the overall normalization will occur. I think the home price longer term, I'm actually quite still bullish in terms of where we are in terms of real estate. We're going to see some various fluctuations. I have no doubt that at some point going forward, we'll have a 10-15% decline. Exactly when that's going to be, who knows exactly what would trigger that, but it's happened before, and it will be a normal cycle overall. But when we think about Vancouver over the longer term, in terms of, the migratory factors that are coming into play for the region, that people will continue to flock to the Vancouver metro area over the long term. We're looking at the fact that land is still relatively scarce until we can fully either rezone the city in some case to make it fully multifamily. That will continue to put pressure on the pricing over the long term. So I think we're growing at above inflation, for the longer term period with, again, a bunch of fluctuations in turn. The overall economy over the long term, we're still, I think our resource base in terms of an economy continues to be, I think will be a smaller part of it as we go forward. And we're really going to be reliant on a lot of the knowledge base and the knowledge sectors as well, like technology, visual effects, VFX, and, those various mega corporations who have a regional office in Vancouver.
Right. Fascinating. And Brian, do you have a region that you think is a real growth region in the province that you're kind of excited or bullish about?
That's kind of tough in terms of where. I think that I still think Kelowna is quite a pretty good area in terms of young families, people moving there, relatively affordable real estate. So those are types of areas where I think that there's still quite a bit of possible momentum as we go forward. But even within the Metro Vancouver area, I think people are going to flock towards affordability in the region. There will be, of course, the Vancouver higher priced area, but as we've seen during the pandemic, people are still looking for affordable properties, and that does lead us to think that, over the longer term, there will be that sort of that dual core type of environment where, yes, you have the Vancouver core as sort of head office and so I would say the trophy type of commercial space for companies, and they have their secondary head office in areas like Surrey, and so pretty much those areas around there should see continued growth.
Excellent.
Fantastic.
Well, Brian, we do have this segment called the Five Wire, five quick questions to end the show. Can you stick around for that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so first question is, what is your favorite neighborhood in Vancouver?
Kipps.
Favorite bar or restaurant? I guess this could be takeout. I know you have young kids as well, so there's probably a couple factors weighing on your restaurant.
Probably
choices.
Haven't been to the bar in a while, but maybe
no, I'm not. But I would say I used to frequent Raisu on 4th.
Oh yeah, nice. That's a great one.
One book you would recommend everyone read?
Oh my goodness! So what was the one? I think it was the biography of Steve Jobs.
Okay.
Oh, the one that kind of focused on calligraphy? Like that was a takeaway from it? No?
No?
Oh,
what? No. I think it was a different one. I have to go back, but it was, I think it was Jobs. That might have been the name, but it was a great book.
Matt tries to work calligraphy into every episode. I don't know what he's on about.
Secret if you can cut that part.
One piece of advice that you'd give your 18-year-old self?
18?
Yes.
No, none. I think it's just simply just ride it. Keep on. I would say invest earlier. Invest in real estate, invest in equities and earlier than after university.
Actually, that's a good one. I feel like even if you did invest young, that's still an answer that applies, right?
Exactly.
Something you have purchased, and this is the final one, Brian, something you have purchased for under $1,500 in the last year or two that has transformed your life in a positive way.
Positive way? I would say a new barbecue.
Ah, we've never had barbecue.
Never had that before.
There you go.
That's, you know what? But a good barbecue is a game changer. So I'm right. on the same
page.
It
saves me a bunch of time.
So, Brian, how can people find out more about what you're doing? And of course, Central One Credit Union.
Yeah, visit our website, www.centralone.com. We have an economic insights page there. So that's probably the best way. And also follow, you know, our various social media accounts and my own, Brian UBC, at Brian UBC.
I was going to say, definitely a good account to follow on Twitter.
Yeah, and these reports that you guys put out, we've been monitoring them for years, but I feel like of all the projections that are going out, Central One tends to get it right
more local feel, for sure.
Yeah, we try.
Well, thanks again for taking the time, Brian.
Thank you very much. Have a great one.
So there you have it, folks, our discussion with Brian Yu, Chief Economist from Central One Credit Union.
Really enjoyed that conversation with Brian Yu, Matt, and another fantastic take on not only what's happening in the real estate market in Vancouver, but also the BC economy and the Canadian economy at large. Another lens on this complicated market that we're operating in. I really think our listeners would enjoy Brian's take today.
Yeah, I think I definitely did. I found it very compelling, interesting stuff. So another layer on that dip we're creating for Vancouver.
That seven layer dip.
That was the eighth layer Brian just added.
Or one of those complicated drinks where you, another layer on the black and tan beer. Are you not familiar with the black and tan?
I've heard of black and tan.
I'm actually not sure if I'm actually saying it.
I feel like black and tan might just be a beer.
No, there's a beer out there, and if someone can remember what it's called, you layer like Guinness and then Kilkenny. I never got it right. To the point that I don't even drink it because I don't want to ask for it. But you layer the beers and you get like a light beer on top of a dark beer and they don't mix.
And what's the other way to say Jameson? That's
Jameson. No, I have no idea.
Anyway, it's a minefield.
It is. It's a minefield out there trying to get Matt's drinks right. But here, what do we have for the I want to mention one other thing before we cut for today. Gil Kelly. Vancouver, chief planner at the City of Vancouver, past guest, one of my all-time favorite guests we've had on this program. And you can go back and listen to Gil's episode.
I think it was January 2020.
It was such a great episode. We actually had him in the studio. Gil is, in the brief moment that we got to meet him, I left going, that guy is just his energy, super bright. I just want to be that guy's friend.
Yeah, no kidding. Huge loss. Huge loss for the City of Vancouver. That is for sure.
Yeah. But best of luck to Gil Kelly. He'll be someone that I think I follow where he's going and what he's up to because he's, like we said before, he's a thought leader in planning. So I would imagine, Gil Kelly.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd imagine he lands somewhere in Cascadia for sure.
Yeah, I think so.
But all the best to Gil. And last week's episode was featured in the Georgia Strait,
right.
We should say. That was Carlito Pablo was the author of that.
I'm a fan of Carlito's. I read his stuff in the Georgia Strait. It was really nice to get a shout out from our past episode with MLA Canada and, of course, Ryan Lalonde and Cameron McNeil. Those guys were great. They made a lot of bold predictions. We've had a ton of feedback about that episode. And, of course, a compliment from the Georgia Strait for featuring our episode.
Absolutely. So what else do we got, Adam? Just very quickly, VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. If you're looking for information on real estate, where all things real estate live, the Georgia Strait is one good resource, but I would say Vancouver Real Estate Podcast is even better. Head over to VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com where you can sign up to our weekly email newsletter, which is a live wire. This is has a deal of the month. It has all sorts of incentives, etc., for you and your family and friends. We also have private client services.
And Matt, if you are not using PCS, you are standing still while the rest of us power walk by. You get sold prices, days on market. You get basically realtor level information. It's at your fingertips. It's free. It is the best resource out there for looking for real estate in Vancouver. It's just got a facelift. I'm just going through the upgrade. I have to make sure it's actually in process, but it's
it's the next level version of PCS is exciting. Yeah. It's phenomenal. Definitely sign up. It's the best resource out there. And you said that we're actually better for real estate than the Georgia Strait. I would say that Carlito is doing a good job. I don't think I'd compare the two.
No, you're right. Carlito Pablo is doing God's work over at the Georgia Strait. We're doing okay here, and there's no reason to compare.
There's absolutely no reason to compare. It's apples and oranges.
But if you want to talk about comparing or anything else real estate related, give me a shout, 778-847-2854 or matt@vancouverrealestatepodcast.com.
Or you can try me, 778-866-4574, or adam@vancouverrealestatepodcast.com.
We also got that secret line, info@vancouverrealestatepodcast.com.
Next week, we've got a fantastic episode. Really excited about this one. We've got the gentleman from...
John Benest and Michael Ferreira.
Yeah, it's going to be a great episode.
These are
episode.
Past guests. These are fan favorites.
One more fantastic take on the Vancouver real estate market. So we're super excited to have those guys back on. I think they've been on... Michael's been on at least three times.
Yeah.
And John's been on a couple of times. So super excited for that. And otherwise, yeah, have a great week, guys, and we'll see you back here next week.
Take care.
2,000 Spaces for Radio. Subscribe today.
Hey everyone, pardon the interruption. We just want to take a quick minute to thank the following sponsors who make this show possible.
This podcast is sponsored by Common Ground Consulting.
Are you developing in the Lower Mainland? Common Ground Consulting is a development management and consulting company with experience in single family, townhouses, multifamily, and commercial developments.
What I love about Common Ground, Adam, is they manage the whole development process, from due diligence and feasibility reports for initial purchase of land to completing rezoning, development permits, and building permits.
They streamline the whole process with strong relationships with sub-consultants and municipalities and a deep understanding of all city requirements.
Common Ground Consulting. Feasibility and efficiency prioritized every step of the way.
Learn more at commonground-consulting.com or 604-807-6419.
We are also sponsored by Oakwin Realty. This is our real estate brokerage, best brokerage in the city, hands down. If you are in the industry, a new agent, an aspiring agent, somebody just looking to make a change, new culture, new energy, new resources, head over to oakwin.com/join, type in VRP 2020. That's oakwin.com/join, type in VRP 2020. Not only do you get to meet Michael Morgan and the gang, the bigwigs over at Oakwin, you get a huge incentive for first going to oakwin.com/join, typing in VRP 2020.